So I had to get on a call with the Pentagon and plea repeatedly for the support of the National Guard, only to find, unbeknownst, because people have to realize that when the police department runs out of resources and we're overwhelmed, when we dial 911, who do we call? We call the Department of Defense. We call the National Guard. They're our backstop in getting help. So I put out that call, only to find out there was delay after delay after delay. And what I hadn't realized is just 2 days earlier, the Secretary of Defense had put out this memo restricting the resources that my men and women so greatly needed on January 6th for an attack that I now believe they knew was coming, because they had talked about it. They had talked about it in meetings. They were so concerned. They were talking about locking down the city. Yet he goes and puts these restrictions on the resources I needed and never tells anybody, never tells the very people that are going to call 911. So at 2:34, I'm pleading for their assistance and have to wait till 5:44 p.m. for them to arrive on the scene. When, think about the absurdity, they're within 2 miles of the Capitol, over 150 of them with all their riot gear, and they won't even move to help my men and women. I respect the military. I come from a military family. The people in the field, those that are willing to tell the truth, I highly respect.
All right, well, Sandy Rios with you, and that's the voice of former Capitol Police Captain Stephen Sund. He was the man in charge of the Capitol Police on January of 2021, January the 6th, that famous day that we talk about so often. And that was a testimony that he gave about how he repeatedly put in calls for the backup for the National Guard, but he was denied because 2 days earlier, the Pentagon blocked assistance to the Capitol. And who was that? That was Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley. How do we know that? Because he's written such, although he denied it, but now we're finding, even in his own words, memos that he wrote to indicate that they were not allowed to go help. Remember, President Trump had called for the National Guard. He actually asked people like three different times to please get the National Guard there. I think we're going to have trouble. I think there's going to be so many people. We need the National Guard. Muriel Bowser from the mayor of Washington, of D.C., District of Columbia, just ignored it. So did Nancy Pelosi. She just ignored it. And she's the one in charge of the Capitol. It is, as the Speaker of the House, it is her job to make sure that everything is safe and runs smoothly. So that's the circumstance there. I want to read something from Julie Kelly here. She says, in the days and weeks leading up to January 6th, the nation's highest-ranking military officer, then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, was moving in lockstep with the political anxieties of top Democratic leaders. These Democrats grew anxious as over 140 House Republicans planned to contest the election results during the Electoral College certification that day. Milley was then deeply engaged with a circle of confidants, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer, former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, among others, all of whom shared a unified disdain for President Donald Trump. At a House Oversight Committee hearing in April, and this is not a new article by Julie, it's come out since January the 6th. I don't even know the date on this, but this is not new information, but I'm setting the stage for something. At a House Oversight Committee hearing in April addressing the 3-hour and 19-minute delay in mobilizing the D.C. National Guard on January the 6th, Colonel Earl Matthews, one of four Department of Defense witnesses, testified about an irrational fear among a clique of senior military officers concerning the potential misuse of the National Guard by the president. He indicated that these concerns were influenced behind the scenes by Milley, who often made disparaging remarks about the president and regularly referred to his fear of a so-called potential Reichstag moment. Reichstag was when the Nazis set fire to their own building and blamed the communists because the communists were the enemies. Before the war started, they were their greatest rivals, and so they set the communists up so they could come after them. That's the Reichstag moment he's mentioning. So, like a setup. Meanwhile, Milley has insisted he maintained a posture of strict neutrality, vocally distancing his leadership of the military from the political turmoil surrounding the 2020 presidential election. He said, "My job is to stay clean by ensuring that the uniformed military remains out of domestic politics." Unquote. So now we know he did not remain. And as the thousands of people, many of you listening to me, went to support President Trump at that rally, waving flags, taking your children, grandmas on walkers, there was no idea of an insurrection. And as we see the footage, we're seeing more and more footage, we are understanding why violence and rioting broke out at the Capitol. We have a much better understanding. And in the coming days, as I share with you interviews I did at the 1A Film Fest in Greenville, Texas, you're going to understand maybe, hopefully, at least a fuller story of what happened on January the 6th. Let me remind you that abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why the need for preborn. Preborn reaches the moms to show them their babies inside the womb via these ultrasounds. They reach them not only to save the life of the baby, but also save the heart and sometimes the life of the mother herself. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Truth Social. You can find us on YouTube also. Sometimes we do things on camera. You can go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast. That is Home Base American Family Radio. You can go to sandyrios.com and find it, or you can go to any podcast platform. All right, stay tuned for another interesting edition. This is a story of one of the J6ers that I want you to hear, the people who have suffered the most from the malfeasance of someone like General Milley and the lies of the press and the lies of the Democrats and the lies of the January 6th committee. Stay tuned for all of it on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. All right, Sandy Rios with you. I told you we're going to talk about J6, but I want to say a few things before our guest speaks. Tim Rivers has joined me several times. He's become a really good friend, and he invited me to come to the 1A Film Fest in Greenville, Texas. He is a former IBM executive who has really poured his heart and soul and his money into helping the J6ers. And so while I was in Greenville, Texas at the Texan Theater, Tim and I had a chance to talk, and he told me a story that just broke my heart. Well, today's story, the one Tim tells, is about one of the J6ers who, look, there's so many of them, and they all have stories, and I'm going to tell you more of them as the days and weeks unfold here. But this one was particularly painful, and I want you to know who he is. So here we go, Tim Rivers with a gripping story about a J6er. I've asked Tim Rivers to sit down with me again so we can do an update. Because for the last time, Tim, you were with me on the air, you told us about a decorated Green Beret who had been sent to D.C. These are the details I remember, and I'll have you fill in the blanks. But he had been put in the general population, and he had really done nothing. I think he had two misdemeanors, something like that. So there's a lot more to say about that, and there's an update. So I want people to know about Jeffrey and what's going on with him.
Yeah, you just mentioned the gentleman who's being tried for two misdemeanors, and that's Jeremy Brown. He's another Green Beret. He is the Green Beret poster boy. When you go to a Green Beret or to an Army recruiting station and you see that poster on the wall of that guy in black camo paint pushing through the woods with the Green Beret, that's Jeremy Brown.
It is that they used, the military that used?
He is the poster boy for Green Beret.
I thought you meant metaphorically.
No, he's a 20-year retired master sergeant, the poster boy for the Green Beret. Now, Jeffrey McKellop is another very special individual. Jeffrey was had no parents to speak of. His mother was a drug addict. His father abandoned them. He lived on the street. He and his brother and his baby sister, he actually raised his baby sister, and then moved out on the street, was living in an abandoned building on a riverside and feeding himself by fishing in the river and selling bottle caps. I mean, so this is
as a kid.
This was a homeless child, basically, as a young kid, right? And he was God sent him a pair of angels who kind of adopted him, took him in, gave him a place of his own that he could stay, helped him get back into school, put him back into school so he finished his high school diploma, started going to Chico State, and he was walking down the street one day with his girlfriend, and he passed in front of a recruiting station for the Army, and in the front of it was a picture of these Rangers in an inflatable boat zipping down a river in Florida. And he looked at that, he says, I want to be that. I want to be that thing. He walked in the recruiting station, signed up, and I don't know if anybody really realized how hard it is to become a Special Forces warrior. I mean, the qualification is brutal. To be a Ranger is really hard. To be a Green Beret is to be a Ranger times four. And so Jeff became a Ranger and fought in the desert conflicts, and then retired, you know, did his duty and came back. And then 9/11 happened. And without hesitation, he walked right back into a recruiting station, re-enlisted, and went for Special Forces Green Beret and made it in the first pass. Wow. Some men take six tries to become a Beret.
Wow.
And then he served for his entire career, 22 years as a warrior, serving on six different continents, and awarded three Bronze Stars for valor. This is an American hero. I think that's the only word we can give it. Somebody who has received that much recognition for his battle and his war stories that I'm writing his biography, his war stories just stand the hair up on your head. As he talks about being at Fallujah, as he talks about being the heart of Tikrit, this is an American hero who is fearless. And he went to January 6th at the request of a friend that day. At the time, he was a CIA. He was a State Department contractor working for an agency doing special protections for visiting dignitaries and people who sometimes got themselves in trouble in places they weren't supposed to go. So think of who this guy is as a contractor. Anybody watched, The Unit or anybody watch? Okay, so you got an idea who these people are and how they live. He's a Christian. He's got two beautiful children. In fact, you may have seen pictures of his kids, and I did an expose. If you're watching the 1A Film Fest, you'll see that video from Jeff McKellop where he writes to Donald J. Trump and see the pictures of him in battle gear and then in civilian life with his children. He's a wonderful man. We are sitting here in Dallas-Fort Worth on September 15th, 2024. In February or in January, Jeff was enticed to come with a friend to act as a protection, like so many people that you heard earlier on January 6th.
And January 6th, yeah. Okay.
And so he went and he brought a medical kit. You know, he had right. a protective
to help
gear
people.
With him, to help
because
people.
We thought Antifa and Black Lives Matter were going to be there like they always were
right.
at Trump rallies, then they would be hurting people.
That's right. And that's why he went that day. Mm-hmm. And then just like so many people, he got caught up in the crowd and pushed into the forefronts, and just by the pressure of millions of people trying to get into that area, and then was attacked or observed senior citizens being maced and beaten at the front lines while praying. And he did what any Special Forces warrior does, because you're supposed to protect the innocent and the weak, and he came to their rescue. And for that, Jeff has been held in prisons across the United States, and he sits 30 miles from where you and I sit right now in a medical facility where they're holding him with insane inmates for 3 years and 6 months without trial. Let that sink in, folks. An American war hero who did not hurt anybody. I've seen the video. They claim he came in contact with a police officer. When you do the slow-mo, you met Gary McBride, our videographer.
Yes.
He slowed that video down and cut it up so you can see Jeff never makes contact. He's pushed from behind and stumbles forwards, but he pulls his hand back but they're charging him with six violent crimes.
Six violent crimes?
For that one action, he got six charges: assaulting a police officer, assaulting with a deadly weapon. I mean, it's incredible. And none of them will ever hold up, but they've been able, because of what's happened to the justice system, they have been able to hold him without trial, deny him. They've actually raided his cell more than 3 or 4 times, stolen his discovery, taken the laptops, destroyed his evidence. I just urge you, if you want to really see the story of Jeff McKellip, go to j6patriotnews.com, go to our letters from prison and start reading the letters that Jeff sends out every week. Every week I put 2 to 3 posts from Jeff out here. He is fearless and will not back down. He will not say the words that they want him to say.
So I've never understood. You know, Jake Lang is another one that I've interviewed several times from prison, because he was just a young guy, and I don't know everything he did. All I do understand that he was trying to help when Roseanne Boylan was being trampled and Philip Anderson was being trampled, a black activist from California. He pulls Philip out and he's fighting, yep. I guess, back, because he feels that the police are striking. Some of them were striking Roseanne as she's lying there. Lifeless, yes. And so he's trying to intercede, and for that, he's been in pretrial detention, as long as Jeffrey.
Almost 3 years.
I don't get that legally. I don't get that. How can they do that?
Well, that's a denial of due process, obviously, and if you're placed in these places to keep you from being able to speak with your attorney or even to speak with the public. Jeff has had all of his external communications cut off, with the exception of myself and some of the folks at RAV, Don and Donna. Otherwise, his mail is intercepted. He's not allowed to speak with people. His telephone conversations have been cut down to just a few people and his children. It is absolutely a complete shutdown. And I want you to remember this. Jeff is not a convicted anything. He's never been tried. He's only been indicted. So this means that the power of indictment has now become the power of conviction. You should be afraid of this.
Jim, is he a Texan then?
No, Jeff actually was from Virginia.
Okay. Because I was thinking, I'm not sure how that works. So you'd think a senator or a congressman from Texas, since he's being held here, would be able to intercede, or because it's a federal thing, or in Virginia, his own senator or congressman.
Well, I think you can imagine that somebody like this, who has been communicating so openly for 3 years, actually has a huge following. In fact, we have an entire channel dedicated to just keeping in contact with him. He has supporters.
J6PatriotNews.com?
You can find it there, but this is actually a private Telegram channel of people who have been in contact with him and have met him and basically, like us, have adopted him because of who he is and because he needs a voice. And we're trying to be his voice. But one of the things I want everybody to remember, if you can simply be accused, which is all Jeff has been, and then violently taken down, as Jeff was, and so many others, you've heard the stories of the violent FBI incursions, and then imprisoned without due process, denied legal access, denied access to your family, to all the people who are around you, I want you to understand that. And then they can do this indefinitely. They shuffle you around. They do what's called diesel therapy. They move you from one prison. Your supporters find you, start filling your commissary, sending you books and letters. They move you in the dead of night. And they put you in a bus and they drive you to the other prison. Now it takes us a week or two to find you, because they're not going to tell you where they went. We have to find you and then put it on patriotmailproject.com. so that people can write to them and support them again and find their fundraisers. And then once they start getting really popular, they move them again. Some people have been moved 20 times.
Now Jake is one of those, right, Jake? And then this is the first I really heard of Jeffrey. So, and Tim, remind us, how many are still incarcerated? Do we know? I know it's hard.
The number is moving. The last count I had was somewhere around 325. We are trying very desperately to keep track of that. But as David mentioned to you in an earlier interview, this week alone, there were 8 new arrests. 8 new arrests. And I want you to keep in mind that these are not people who entered the Capitol. These were people who are on Capitol ground. These are people who are being charged with trespass, and they're being violently accosted and taken into custody by the FBI for misdemeanors.
You know, they have this brigade of citizens. They have a name for it. I wish I could remember in this moment. They're actually assigned volunteers to comb social media.
Sedition hunters.
Yeah, and to turn people in. who were just there.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're seeing our Justice Department do.
Yeah, and the problem is that all of these things that they've been charged with, 1512C, overturned, right? SCOTUS says, nope, can't charge people. There was almost 180 people there that were immediately affected.
Right.
Then enhanced sentencing by Lieutenant Colonel Brock, who's going to speak today at 1A Film Fest, he got enhanced sentencing, overturned and appealed. That affected another 150 people who had these huge sentences added on that were unconstitutionally done. And now you come up with another appeals court that says you cannot use geofencing to indict somebody. That is the rest of the population that they're going after.
Wow.
They don't have any evidence other than geofence data from their cell phones, and they're arresting them based on that information, despite an appeals court, a federal appeals court, saying that that is unconstitutional.
So something has to be done. And I guess the thing about it, we talked in an earlier conversation about what people can do, and I think the thing that comes to my mind right now in this case, of course, right, I've been saying that ever since I probably first talked to you,
patriotmailproject.com.
Right. patriotmailproject.com, and a lot of people have done that, Tim.
Absolutely.
So you could write, but also pray. Oh, my goodness, pray. Just pray that God brings justice, that the God of all justice. I said to Tim earlier, and I've said to you on the air, if those of you listening, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of those people that are doing this injustice. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And they may be having a good time enjoying their freedom and their prosperity right now, but God is, everything is being noticed and will not be forgotten.
You know, prayer is very important. I believe it focuses people, and you will hear in the letters, as you read the letters from prison and Art of Confinement, you will hear over and over again how prayer and faith is sustaining these men. But I will tell you that I prayed a lot, and I didn't feel like I was, like God was answering my prayer. And you know what I finally heard? Get off your knees and wield the sword.
Do something. Yeah.
It's time to end the sons of Hamish.
I couldn't have said it better. That's brilliant. But I feel the same way. If you're in angst about this, and do something.
Do something.
Do something. There's one thing you can do. There's one thing. We've given you a lot of choices here. You could do something. Do something. And with that, Tim Rivers, J6 Patriot News, patriotmailproject.com. I know that's a lot to absorb. We'll put that on our social media.
And lettersfromprison.us.
And those are those great books illustrated by my French friend for many years, Marie. And she's an artist, and they're beautiful, and also they're just very moving. So there you go. Tim Rivers, thank you.
Thank you. Don't do nothing, America.
Yeah. God bless you. All right, Sandy with you back again live, and Bruce is right here next to me. And as we heard that story about Jeffrey McKellop, Bruce, I'm just stunned. Now, you're a former prosecutor for Cook County, that's Chicago. You're also a former FBI agent. And I don't understand. How can they get away with holding people for nearly 4 years in pretrial detention who have not been convicted, are just accused? How can they do that, honey?
Well, Sandy, that's a question that I've been asking since this started, and I have talked to several people about this that I thought could give me an answer, and no one seems to be able to give me an answer. These people that are being held in pretrial detention, like Jeffrey McKellop, over 3.5 years, this is unheard of. The Constitution under the Sixth Amendment guarantees you certain things when you are being held by the government, and one is the right to a speedy trial. Normally in the federal system, that means within about 6 months, not six times that. And what I've been reading is many of these defendants have been what we call double charged. In other words, they're charged with similar crimes that overlap, and it's done to put leverage or put pressure on a person being charged that, look, you have 10 charges. Look, we'll knock it down to 5 and you can plead to those. But in reality, what they should have been charged originally with were the 5 charges. And you can't double stack charges if they're the same act. In other words, you can't say someone's being charged with assault and then being charged with assault with a deadly weapon. You have to pick one or the other. There's also under the Sixth Amendment, you're given a right to have counsel, have an attorney. But not just any attorney. You have to have a capable attorney. And as we have found out throughout the history of what's going on with these January 6 people is they are getting terrible representation. And it's because the attorneys that they're being assigned can read the tea leaves, and they know that the January 6 defendants are kryptonite, that if they get their name attached to these January 6 defendants, their law career will probably be over. No firm is going to hire them. No governmental agency is going to hire them. Basically, they become persona non grata in the legal community. One of the things that I've also not understood is why these prisoners cannot file for being held in improperly. In other words, file a habeas corpus. During the Civil War, President Lincoln was severely criticized because he held certain people in custody without giving them trials because they were alleged Confederate sympathizers. And that was very, even though there was lots of proof that they were aiding and abetting the Confederacy and were living in Union territory, still he got a lot of heat for this. Now think of this. Fast forward 150 years, here we are now. Same kind of thing is being done for people that are not being accused of being helping an enemy. They're being accused of being rioters. And if you read, the other thing that strikes me as incredibly amazing, Sandy, is when you read the language of the documents that are charging these people, really what it amounts to is that they are wrong thinking about the 2020 election.
Exactly.
They're election deniers. Yeah. They think that Donald Trump should still be president. Really, that's a crime.
Well, and they will also force them in writing. This has been happening. I have discussed this, but people probably don't remember. I remember way back when we started covering this, is some of the early ones. There was a young guy with his homeschooled family, and he was like 16, and they forced him to sign a recantation of his belief about Donald Trump and the election. And this is happening over and over, and they are threatening them. If they don't confess or change their mind or say what the party line is, they'll get a harsher sentence or they will not get out.
And in addition to that, if they do plead guilty, the January 6ers, many of them are being forced to have their social media monitored. They're being restricted from going on social media because, you know, heaven forbid they talk to someone else that's of like mind that still thinks, you know, the 2020 election may have been stolen.
They're spreading disinformation. They're dangerous people. And so this is, our First Amendment rights are just being shredded. This is what we keep trying to tell people. And in the case of the Jeffrey McCallop, that's just, it's really just unfathomable. Well, Bruce, we need to take a break. We'll take a short break because I want to tell you, of course, about just a few other things. But when we come back, a couple of points. Please don't go away. I think the question could be asked, why don't you know about this? Why don't you know about this? Why don't your neighbors know about this? Why do people not know anything about the treatment of the people in the Capitol and even not in the Capitol, like Jeffrey McCallop? Why do people not even have knowledge of this? I'm going to address that when we return on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526.
Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top four leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who is not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, I do think that several members of Congress in some of my discussions have brought up media literacy, because that is a part of what happened here. And we're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you can't just spew disinformation and misinformation. It's one thing to have differing opinions, but it's another thing entirely to just say things that are false. And so that's something that we're looking into.
And of course, if you want to know what's true, you must listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she never lies about anything. I think she talked about how, when she gave her narrative in J6, it was like she was held up in an armed room. I can't remember. It was a very dramatic story. But I'm not exactly the arbiter of truth, but there she is. And so I ask before the break, Sandy Rios back with you, by the way, how is it that we don't know about Jeffrey McKellop, about Jeremy Brown, about the guys that I've told you about? I've brought their stories to you. I have more to bring to you. Why don't you know? Why don't your neighbors know? Why don't congressmen know? Why don't senators know? Now, some of them are finally seeing the footage and actually hearing the stories. And that's why from the J6 Film Fest, it's not called that, it's the 1A Film Fest. And I want to just take a second to mention that, because if you pay $25, you can see all 20 films. Bruce and I saw 12. If you pay $25, you can see all 12 films, and they are phenomenal. We'll talk about that later. But it's things that we're talking about, the content we can't even get to. But this is some way where you could have like maybe a party in your home or for yourself. You and your family watch, and you'll see things that you had no idea. It's not just about J6. It's about all kinds of things going on. But it's 1afilmfest.com. But back to the censorship. Most of us use Google, but most of the world uses Google. I think they have 98% of the market worldwide. And so when you search for something, you go to Google and use, or maybe you use DuckDuckGo now or whatever, but I don't know what the relationship is, but I'm not sure DuckDuckGo is all that clean either. But nevertheless, that's what most people use is Google. So you search for something and you think you know. You think you know what's going on. But I'm telling you, if you want the truth about this, if you watch the J6 committee hearing by Liz Cheney, there was Adam Kinzinger, Jamie Raskin, and all the rest of them. If you think you know what happened on J6, that was a theater of lies. Well produced, really well produced. But there was a reason why they would not release the videos, because what they presented was abject lie. And you won't know about it because you can't look for it in Google. You can't find it anywhere. You don't know what you don't know. And that's why I keep working on this. And by this, you might tell me, well, Google, they brought a case. The Justice Department brought a case against Google because they say they have a monopoly. Well, I want to play a little video that someone made. I think it's pretty clear, actually, just verbally, how corrupt that case is. Here it is. Google Care.
You want to see how the government works? Like, how corrupt it is? Well, let me show you. Everybody loves a good flowchart, am I right? Right now, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, is going after Google for monopolizing search and search advertising, which I'm totally down with because they have way too much monopoly power. Now, the lead attorney representing Google in this antitrust case is Karen Dunn. Now, Karen Dunn is all sorts of problematic. A, Karen Dunn is married to Brian Netter, who happens to be the deputy attorney general. So right there, she's got ties to both sides of the case. But that's not all. The attorney general, Merrick Garland, was the wedding officiant for Brian and Karen. Merrick Garland, as the attorney general, of course, is the head of the DOJ. Now let's go to the law firm, Paul Weiss. This is the law firm representing Google, which Karen Dunn is a partner of. And guess who else is tied to this law firm? It's this guy, Jonathan Kanter, the assistant attorney general for the antitrust division, which directly is overseeing this case against Google. Back to Karen Dunn here. Guess what she's working on right now? Well, she is the political advisor to one Kamala Harris, and actually helping her right now with debate prep. So that's kind of how it works. Google is going to probably get off pretty easy here because A, their lead attorney is pretty good buds with Kamala Harris. B, she is married to the deputy attorney general, DOJ connection. Also, their wedding was literally officiated by the attorney general. And on top of that, the guy that Google is going up against, the deputy attorney general of the antitrust division, used to work at the same law firm that represents Google right now. And then just to seal the deal, Google is Kamala's largest corporate donor. Some administration we got going on right now. Finally, I want to give a big shout out to the American Prospect. They're the ones that connected a lot of these dots together. They do some great reporting. It's a great publication. Everybody should definitely go check them out.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're being gaslit. There is really no serious investigation into Google. It's a joke. It's a trick. They're playing with us. They've been playing with us for years, and we didn't realize it. Some of us did because we've been in this business for a long time. But I'm just telling you, you're not knowing. You don't know what happened because it's blocked from you. Think of the danger of that. Bruce, just your thoughts about that.
Well, you know, that Google thing strikes me as a total show trial. Now, look, I cannot predict what will happen in a court proceeding. However, I would warn you that this may very well be the way this is heading. The government will, quote-unquote, go after Google, that they're a monopoly and that they have to be somehow either broken up or reduced in their reach. But think about this. If Google wins this trial, and they may very well, then they will be able to say, the government will be able to say, look, we went after Google. They were exonerated. So obviously they're not doing anything wrong. And then Google will have total plausible deniability that anything that they put out on their searches is the truth, because the government proved it for us. They weren't able to find that we were doing anything wrong. And I, you know what? I'll challenge you. If you think this is not true, that Google is you talk about misinformation,
disinformation, or just shutting you out from information.
I just Googled. These were the words I used. What happened on January 6, 2021? And here's what I got. You want to talk about a statement that could be fact-checked, but listen to this short statement and think about how many potential lies there are in this. Here's what it says. On January 6, 2021, the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was attacked by a mob of supporters of then-U.S. President Donald Trump in an attempted self-coup d'etat by Trump 2 months after his defeat in the 2020 presidential election.
So there's the narrative for you.
That's the narrative. That it was a mob, that it was an attempted self-coup d'etat by Donald Trump, and that it was 2 months after his defeat. They declare it, that he lost the 2020 election. So that's what you get from Google.
Yeah, and of course, if you look down further, you can't get anything. And that's why I'm going to, in our closing minutes here, I want to give you some information. I mean, links, okay? So can you get out a piece of paper and pencil? And by the way, let's put that clip about Google on our social media. We'll do that so that you can see that, because it's pretty amazing. And you can share it with other people. It would be very helpful. But if you want some really good, there's several of these, and I recognize it's confusing, okay? So just stay with me. If you want to know about Jeffrey McKellop and other J6ers, just stories of what's happening to them, go to J6PatriotNews.com. That's where you can find it. You can't find it on Google, but you can find it at J6PatriotNews.com. It's updated all the time. If you would like to write to these guys, and this is the link I've been giving you for years now, really, and many of you have done that. Just think about Jeffrey McKellop. He's probably... It's just heartbreaking, is it not? Separated from his family, his children, his wife, for almost 4 years, and cut off from civilization. It's like the guys in Fort Leavenworth who were put in prison for killing in combat when Obama was president. They're still there, locked away for life because they're accused of murder for what they did in war. Just a complete and a total miscarriage of justice, and there's going to be more of this. Please listen to me. You may think that Donald Trump has mean tweets and says ugly things about people, but I'm telling you, we are at a crisis in this nation. And if it's on this alone, can you imagine, fast forward 6 months from now or a year from now, if Kamala Harris should win this election? And Tim, they don't believe in freedom of speech. Certainly her running mate, the vice presidential candidate, Waltz, has said publicly that he thinks that there shouldn't be free speech, that some things should be censored. That's what AOC just said. They mean this. They mean it. You will be silenced, and you will be imprisoned or destroyed, like Mark Robinson, who we talked about this week. They're attempting to do that. And it doesn't matter if you've been neutral. Doesn't matter if you've said the right things about President Trump and signaled that you're not really down with him. This sort of a virtue signaling. So many people do that. I'm just telling you, we are in an existential crisis for freedom. So if you want to write to these guys, go to patriotmailproject.com. Also, these movies, again, now I'm going to give you this site again. They are working on post-production, so it's not quite ready. But it will be, and you'll be able to show all of these movies and see all of these movies at your leisure when you want to watch them. You can have a party in your home. Bruce and I are going to do that too. But write this down. It's 1afilmfest.com. That's 1afilmfest.com. It's $25 for all 12 movies that we saw at this film festival. And keep in mind that the people that I met that I'm introducing to you are just selfless. They are not making money. They don't even ask for money. I've asked them to ask for money. They need it, but they don't ask for it. They're mostly concerned about the J6ers and their families. So I wanted you to hear the story of Jeffrey McKellop today. I hope it helped you to understand how serious this is. Bruce, just any last word from you.
What strikes me is that once again, one of the J6ers that has been imprisoned by the Biden administration, and they really are political prisoners because they're being held without being given trial, without being given proper treatment, without being able to contact much of the outside world, and not being brought to trial. Once again, Jeff McKellop is the kind of guy that you would love to have as your friend. He's an Army veteran. He's medically trained. The reason he went to the Capitol on that day, as Tim said, was to help, because it was anticipated that Antifa and other groups would be there disrupting the protest and that there may very well be bloodshed caused by them. He went there to help.
Yeah. Three tours of duty, three Bronze Stars for valor. He's a Green Beret. He's got so many acts of valor. It's just amazing. And Tim is actually writing a book about him. That's the kind of man they're persecuting. A hero for our nation.
And so where is he? He's in the general population of the Washington, D.C. jail called the D.C. Gulag, probably one of the worst, most dangerous places you could be incarcerated in this country.
All right. So as I say often, and we said actually in that conversation, it's time to do something. President Trump has been mentioning them. We support him for that. Thank God. He's the only one talking about it. And he says he's going to pardon them. And we pray. Oh, boy, do we pray that he does that. Well, honey, thank you so much for joining me for this discussion, this dreadful discussion. I know we're really enriched by the film festival. We'll talk about more of it at a later date. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media. Telegram is our new spot. But also, you know, Twitter, I always tell you, @SandyRiosTweet is where I add the most. AFR.net is a place where you can go to listen to the podcast or any podcast platform, or SandyRios.com. I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan, by the way, is a place where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy, that's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.